Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ramble.
Well, welcome to the Tripod, our podcast.
Yeah, we're good.
This is a very exciting day because we are in our brand new podcast studio. We already have a new coffee stain on our marble table. Apparently, marble just drinks it up.
It's extremely porous.
My best
Who knew?
Advice is if anyone's considering a nice piece of marble, get quartz instead. It looks like marble, but it doesn't get damaged as easily. Like, marble is incredibly porous. Like, one of the most porous materials that we use, and we pay extra for it, and it also is the easiest to stain.
The more you know.
I have a marble coffee table, and...
But why is the mountaintop figuratively a marble counter on your kitchen?
Exactly. That's a great question. Special guests Ryan Bergara and Shane Mede joining us here.
Thank you for having us. Very good. But seriously, why is that?
Well, here's a good question for you. Gold, why is it so great? It's the softest
it's
metal.
Very soft,
it's very easy to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And yet, I think it's something about fragile things we hold in high regard, like lace. It's
like a Fabergé egg.
That's very human.
Mm.
Like me.
Yeah.
It's so valuable.
Yeah. And we hold you in high regard as well.
Oh my God.
Well, it's so exciting to have our watcher buds here with us today. We have known each other for 7 years.
Oh my gosh.
No, don't say that.
Yeah. No. True. You started in mid-2014.
Mid-2014.
Oh, he's right.
And oh, fuck.
Because we were at DeLong pretty when both of you.
Oh, no, I want to die.
Holy shit, dude.
Guys, I looked online.
It was DeLong pretty.
I realized I've been on Twitter for 12 years, and I wanted to jump off a bridge.
That's long.
That is wild.
Yeah, I started around WALL-E. So,
around the release of the movie WALL-E.
Some of my early tweets were WALL-E centric, I think.
Oh, I love that.
So, been mid-summer 2008.
I've been tweeting since WALL-E.
Yeah, dude. tweeting since WALL-E.
That's as good a time as any to start. I remember my WALL-E experience was ruined by my friend.
It was an incredible summer.
It was ruined by my friend.
That's a great summer for movies. Let's talk
WALL-E,
about
WALL-E, Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Iron Man.
Iron Man came.
Wow.
I was a speed racer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's incredible. We don't have to get into it. But yeah, that was an amazing... That summer is burned into my brain as like one of the great movie
It's
summers.
A good one. It's WALL-E up there in the echelon.
Like, before that movie came out, sorry to just start talking about WALL-E right away. Hi, everybody.
That's the ghoul boy promise. You're going to get some cinema talk.
I fucking love WALL-E. Hey.
It's good.
I just remember being so spellbound by the trailer and my expectations were so high. And it's one of the few movies where I listened to the score beforehand.
I don't recall the trailer being particularly spectacular.
God. I love
it. Walk me through the trailer. What happens? Let's make this audio.
The trailer is just like the first 20
Open
minutes of the
on
movie.
On post-apocalyptic Earth.
Yeah.
A wasteland. And then little robot... tractor.
Nice. I like this audio storyboard that we're getting here.
It's beautiful.
The trailer is...
Meet WALL-E. He's a little adorable
Meet
robot.
WALL-E. He's a little robot living in a post-apocalyptic landscape.
That's good.
And I it like ends that. With him looking up at the stars. Mm. And then I think there's maybe a quick montage of like some of his zany adventures in
is
space.
Is it set to What a Wonderful World?
I think it's
That's
set
great.
To either LaVion Rose
and,
or...
And then I think the little post bumper is him shooting himself backward with
yes.
the
yes.
fire extinguisher.
Okay, I do remember that. Which is also featured in great to great effect in World of Color. They use that in World of Color as well. I forgot that the trailer basically distills the idea of the movie down to robot wants to fall in love.
I know.
Yeah, it's adorable. And then there's the big people in the float chairs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our future.
The gels. The gels is what they call them.
March of the gels.
Yeah.
Guys, I love my mother.
Yeah.
But I tried to make her watch WALL-E once.
You don't
and
like it?
She fell asleep in the opening and then was like, this is boring.
That's crazy.
And I will never forgive that.
My mother claims to have taken us to see Toy Story.
Oh, God.
And
here we go
she
again.
Never did.
And she'll watch it?
At the time, I don't think I recognized, like, this is a revolutionary movie from a studio that will change the face of animated entertainment. But I was like, I want to see those toys. And she never took us. We eventually, that thing took years to come out on VHS.
Talk shit about your mom, Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to point out this is the third time he's brought that story.
Well, it's clearly something I'm working for.
It was clearly a good movie, and I saw it in theaters, and it was pretty magical. So I understand he was devoid of that magic. Yeah. Growing up, which is sad.
It's weird that you're grinding this axe over and over again.
He made up for it by after that, like every Pixar movie we all went to see. So,
Jumping back to Wally very quickly.
Have you guys seen
it as another brick in the Wally where you play Pink Floyd's The Wall?
I've heard it strong.
It does work significantly for like the first, like,
for people who don't know, Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall. Yeah, great rock, yeah. Classic rock album.
So it is really good for the first 75 minutes or so. It's almost like unnervingly perfect.
Interesting.
Like where the helicopter comes at the same time, the helicopter sound comes at the same time the thing is landing. It literally plays Another Brick in the Wall when he's taking the bricks, putting the garbage
in
a wall.
So
it
stupid.
Insane.
The classic, of course, is Dark Side of the Moon syncing up to Wizard of Oz.
Or Paul Blart Mall Cop.
No.
Really? To what?
Yeah, to the same one. To the same song.
Holy shit.
Hey, man, great art. Finds
this Dark Side of the Mall, I believe. I can't remember what it's called. Good. Wait, have you guys not heard of this?
I am so much more interested in that.
Very up my alley.
Look it up. I can't remember if it's Paul Blart 1 or 2, but it syncs up almost perfect.
I hope it's 2. And I hope that was the director's secret agenda.
What are you guys doing after this?
Another Floyd joint.
I'm curious to know what the little syncs are. Like what curious little moments there are.
I haven't seen it yet.
I've never seen Paul Blart.
Maybe we should do that.
Money sinks to a dope mall montage.
Yeah.
Him on a Segway, I assume.
Something I did recently, Sarah and I were playing a lot of Mario Kart with my brother online over the pandemic. And anytime we pick Rainbow Road 64, we start blasting We Like to Party by the Venga Boys because it fits it perfectly. But it's sort of the same thing. Like during the race, things will happen that just happen to like work with the music. Like you might nail someone with a red shell right as there's like a little... It's great.
There's a name for that phenomenon where our brains seek patterns where none
exists.
Yeah,
we try to sync things.
So you're telling me that that's just stained now, this table. I can't rub water into it?
No, you should not rub water into it.
Why not?
It'll drink the water.
Yeah, but then that'll...
That sounds good.
Well,
it's
thirsty.
It will marble.
It will be darker from the water itself.
So we're just going to accept that there's now a coffee stain.
We can get a cleaner that can clean it out.
If I didn't know it was a coffee stain, it would just look like marble. It kind of feels
I'm going
like,
to no, never forget no. that stain.
There's a cleaning agent that will take it out, but it will be laborious and we should do it immediately.
Oh,
you know
I also was
end the podcast.
I was also picturing a cleaner. I was thinking that guy from Toy Story 2 cleans Woody's eye. I thought he was going to come in here.
Honestly, there probably is a guy who would do a better job than the agent that we could buy.
You know what's cheaper is just dumping coffee.
You could also cover the entire thing in the same amount of coffee.
Yeah.
And then it will be a nice bronzed marble.
The fact that it drinks it so easily, does that suggest that it needs it or it likes the water? Like, do you ever just pour water on your marble to give it a little
no,
taste?
No, I don't, Ryan.
You should try it.
I don't. The rock does not need sustenance.
Maybe it'll appreciate
you sound like
you
a bad owner.
Maybe it'll clean the coffee stain
your marble's
itself
gonna die.
If you fed it some water.
I would love for the marble to
Let's
die.
Try it right now.
Pour a whole bottle so we've of known it. Each other for 7 years. Do you remember the beginnings? Because you guys were both...
Interns. We were interns
on early Try Guys videos.
And one of my first shoots was a personal Zach Kornfeld joint.
Woo! Hot damn. Was it, it was one of those, like, I think I know it. I used to do, like, those scripted, unscripted hybrids.
Yeah, it was with Gabby.
Uh-huh. You were a very good DP, that director of photography. That was your claim to fame when you came in.
That was the thing. I walked into BuzzFeed in full dork mode.
Yeah.
I had, like, all of my cinematography gear. I had my gel set.
Uh-huh.
I had my on-set clip, my like actual like utility belt. Like I was like a lame Batman.
So I remember very well because it was rare at that time to find people within our network who actually knew how to light well. And I was like okay, but not good. But I wanted someone who was good. So Ryan came in and I'm like, I'm drafting him. Like first draft pick, dibs. And I definitely tried to get you on as many things as possible. And then he started doing unscripted videos. And I was like, what a fucking waste.
I remember that actually distinctly when I made the switch from just like realizing I'm not very happy doing cinematography to like hosting and like doing unscripted videos. I remember one day, and this is I remember this fondly. This could come off as a diss, but I remember it fondly. I was editing my first hosted video and Quinta walked behind me. Mm-hmm. And me and Quinta, we have like a brother sister relationship where I'm like the little brother.
Yeah, everyone thinks that.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, she just shits on me. Same. Relentlessly. And then, you know what? I just make it funny so I could take it. But I remember she walked behind my screen and she was just like, "Man, they got Ryan hosting videos now? That's crazy." All right. And then I was like, thank you, Quinta. I've talked to her about that memory since, and we just have a laugh, you know.
That's beautiful.
You were, I think you lit the first video that the Try Guys ever
I
did
lit
together.
The first Try Guys.
The Victoria's Secret Underwear.
Victoria's yeah. Secret Underwear yeah. video where I now regrettably made it so that it was like the silhouette. Austin Powers silhouette. Yeah. Yeah. And by Austin Powers, I don't know if that's a dated reference now, but basically there was a gag where you could see the silhouette of Austin Powers doing really dirty things like taking a dump or peeing and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that was like week one for Ryan, I think, and he definitely saw the silhouette of my drooping nutsack.
I definitely saw the actually upside pretty defined arch. Silhouette.
The twig yeah. and berries of all four members. Yeah, the members of all four members.
The defined
perhaps.
Silhouette of all parties.
It was
involved.
Very funny because I remember being one of the editors on it and I was like, this is hilarious. There's just dick shadow puppets all over
the
place.
It was brutal. Yeah. And I just remember thinking, I guess this is BuzzFeed because that was like one of my first shoots.
Well, how quickly welcome, into son. Your internship was that? Because you started a few months before me.
That must have been a week or two.
I think it was literally your first shoot. Yeah. is at I least my was, memory of it.
No, my first shoot, I think, was you. And then my second shoot, I think, was maybe that.
Wow.
So it was like a double dose of cornfield. Very different experience. First
the
one.
The mind and the body.
Pretty
somehow,
fun.
I was the mentor for most of Watcher. at like BuzzFeed. I don't think I was officially your mentor, Shane.
I was with Kate and Brandon.
Yeah, but like you were you worked with us a lot.
Yeah.
And also I was like, what do you mean you're not gonna hire Shane, you fucking idiot?
I mean Kate so I
was an
always,
open story. Do you know like did the world know about this?
I don't know. I know they definitely were not gonna hire me, yeah. And I know for sure that Kate Sosa really stuck her neck out.
We were all furious.
I also was like,
we all told the person that we're all thinking yes, that he was a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Your videos were so clearly so much better edited than anyone else's.
They
your graphic
great.
Skills
They're
were
so
out
beautiful.
Of this fucking world. I still remember your board game facts video, which is not a remarkable video, but the editing within it sure as shit is. And I'm like, you're telling me you're going to hire these other fucks, but you're not going to bring Shane on?
Yeah, it was weird. I was thinking the other day about how nerve-wracking it was when they were sort of like making those decisions. And I,
so stupid.
I have always been a very meticulous and slow editor. I think because I tend to like, if there's like a fun little detail I can add to something and the option is like, it will survive without this doing this thing, or you could spend 2 hours on doing this thing, I will spend 2 hours on doing that thing to my own detriment.
To the glee of everyone who watches your content.
The benefit of the planet.
Right. It makes a better product, but you're like, but is actually getting more views? Probably not, but it is a better product.
Right. You could sleep at night.
Yeah. So when it came down to that, I was like, I'm very slow with a lot of this stuff. I get it. They're not going to hire me. And then I was very, very surprised that they did.
I remember one of my arguments was like, I was like, okay, so BuzzFeed has one Dimitri Simakis, who's this unbelievable man of Illustrator and like After Effects and could create such magic out of nothing. And this guy, Shane, is the only person we've hired in the last 100 people that can do anything remotely clear like that. you're fools for not getting a second one of someone with these types of skills. And Dimitri went on like running Super Deluxe, and he runs everything is terrible. He's like the coolest guy ever. And I don't like, I was like, and this guy can do what he can do. We need to get him. It's so hard to teach what he knows how to do.
And this was like before Shane even went in front of camera too. Like yeah. Shane graphically,
when he was just beautiful Shane.
Still, right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Graphically, Shane is the most talented person I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Just because I remember I was on the same intern island as him. That. Like he was like, "Well, you sat across from me."
We did at least when the Force Awakens trailer came out. We were
that's right.
You measure your life in movie trailers.
That's the only real time we talked to each other.
I think the Jurassic World trailer. We were both like,
that guy just like. Though you do love Blue the Raptor, but that's neither here nor there. I do. We actually haven't talked about that publicly. Where like. It was intense and very, very stressful.
I don't think we've ever really talked about our internship experience.
Was yours similar? Because ours felt like fucking Hunger Games. Like,
so your class, it was you, Eugene, and Ned.
And Adam Bianchi.
No, that was mine.
He came in your class?
Yeah. Oh, so wow. He was maybe in, well, you.
It was me, Eugene, and Ned. But at that time, wasn't a class. People were just hired. So like Ned was like a week and a half before me. Eugene was like 3 weeks before me. Patrick Ward was also in that around the same time as Pat. Me.
You said it. It sounded like disgust, and I know it wasn't.
No, I love
it. It was like after you take a bite of delicious rigatoni or something.
But it is like you came in and you're like, okay, what skills do I have that other people don't, so that I can show that I'm valuable to this company and not be fired? And mine was like, I can edit really fast.
Yeah, you were a speed demon. I was making like 8 videos a month.
I'm not the best editor, but I'm the fastest here. And I could like turn around videos in a day. I could just like crush edits. And I would just be like, I would tell also senior producers, like, give me your videos. I'll give you a rough cut in a day. And then like, that to try to prove like I'm valuable. Somebody give me your work and I'll give it back to you almost done.
I don't know if he wants us to tell this, but Ned almost didn't get hired either. And he got brought on as a manager instead and was put on that route.
I remember that.
Yeah. And like did an incredibly valuable thing of being the institutional knowledge that taught an entire generation of our coworkers how to do the stuff we do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he was going to be offered a fellowship.
No, and then Eugene also is the reason I didn't get fired.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
They were like, and it was so funny because at the time, Eugene and I like weren't close.
Yeah.
But I think he was like, why would you not hire him? He's the fastest editor and he like does everything you ask him to do. He'll literally, she's like.
Right, they were only going to hire Eugene.
Yeah, and then he's like, he shows up on the weekends to cut videos for you. And like, he like doesn't log all the hours he's working. It's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, no one
about?
Did. Like, they tried to get us to leave at the end of every workday. And we were like, okay. And then kept working.
But even when you're an intern, though, you fill out a timesheet.
Yeah, I remember that.
So like, you do get to log your hours. But I was like, that seems like I didn't work that much, did I? No, I'll put 42 hours. I was really working like 55 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Adam Bianchi started together, Adam from Worth It Fame. And we would just like trade off secrets. Like he would do something and then I would try and do it better. And then he would steal from me. And it was just back and forth. And we made each other better. But he was like, he was a fucking wunderkind.
Yeah.
That guy is so good.
He knew how to crack viral formats, I think, better than anyone else. And so being next to him, I was very intimidated.
And in terms of my like life rankings of like, I think this guy may hate me, but I'm not sure if he does. Maybe he likes me. He's probably number one or two.
Once you get to know him, you're like, this is the sweetest.
Sure. But then there's still a comment every now and then where you're like, maybe he does hate me.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I just know the sweet, sweet side of Adam. But
I miss Adam. I haven't seen
Nikki
him in a while.
Also similar. Those two also up there in the rankings.
Yeah.
You know, I went to college with Andrew.
I would love to see college Andrew.
I used to get stoned in Thespi's dorm room because her roommate was my best friend. And we had like these little separate dorm rooms. Like, okay, it was like a shared dorm room with these little offshoot rooms. And I would stumble in. I'd be like, hey. And I saw Andrew sitting on the bed and like, these fucking assholes are going to make the room stink again. And that was my relationship with
those
two.
It's so funny, the shared history you have with Thespi and AI. Uh-huh. I knew them with AI back then.
Dating since what? Freshman or sophomore year? They've been
thousand years.
That's crazy. Yeah. As evil of a place as that was, I will say that the little battle arena that they created of like making everyone just like compete against each other to make basically great content.
To get buttons.
to get buttons. I remember that. I forgot about that.
Be in upper echelon of success on this platform, and your award will be a button of someone you don't like's face.
Buttons of your face?
No, it's just like a various like people.
If you hit a threshold, like I think it was a million views in a week. Threshold on YouTube. There was a button for Facebook, a button for Snapchat, maybe, and then there was a button if you got all of them. And then later they introduced these incredibly soft corgi sweaters. And it was like, they were like, hey, we've purchased a sweater for everyone in the company. Come earn it.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you, what was it? The 99th percentile?
99th percentile was meant getting 3 million views in a week. That was of the 99th percentile of views across YouTube.com.
Damn, you remember these benchmarks.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get a hoodie for like 2 years.
No kidding.
Even though I worked on things that were like, you know, I helped develop Worth It, but it wasn't my.
Yeah,
I was pissed because I had a video that hit that like 2 weeks before they announced the hoodie program.
I also had something like that. Like,
come on. Funny.
I was like, and but I did it once, though. Yeah.
But it was yes, it was kind of crazy and manipulated our emotions.
Oh, for
but
sure.
It was thrilling to cheer. No, it was, for
that's the silly thing about it is when I got those buttons, I did it feel pride. I did it and I was like, I did it.
I've moved now 3 times since I worked at BuzzFeed. I have an envelope of all of my little buttons.
Oh, I threw them away.
I have buttons with Shane's face on it. Then we just started making buttons.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
I got a Shane button with your little birthday hat. I've still got my corgi sweater. You better believe I'm keeping that for life.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
There was some point when Annie got a button making machine.
It's so weird to go through these emotions because I actually approached it very similar to you, Keith. I was like, okay, what can I do here that will make them hire me and see that I have value? And mine was like Zach was saying, I could shoot. I could edit really fast, and I could come up with good concepts that'll.
Yeah, you're.
I probably also told you like you should edit really fast.
You might have told me that. You know who was really helpful was Jared Sosa.
He
was like my mentor, and he could see how stressed and tweaked I was because I would be there like on weekends, and I would stay after, and I wouldn't log my hours, so it made it seem like I was editing really fast. But I knew I could come up with stupid ideas that would get a lot of views. So like that was the things I hung my hat on.
Doesn't it feel like we're seniors in high school remembering, like, remember middle school?
Yeah. It does. I remember looking at the competition and being like, okay, who do I have to worry about here who may take my job in terms of who will they hire instead of me? He was one of them.
That's crazy. I understand that, like, I had okay graphics, but.
Fuck off, dude. You did not have okay graphics.
I know I labored.
Just give yourself a compliment for one time in your whole life.
I was going to say. I mean, you were a shoo-in at that point because week after week during the fellowship program, for people who don't know, it was like every week for X number of weeks, you made a video and there were like different kind of boxes to tick.
It was like 3 months to prove that they should hire you.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Full time.
And Ryan, week after week, was like making these like smash hit videos that took like... very little effort to
shoot. That was, and to this day I still flex that muscle.
Like hit me with one. What is an example?
Chinese people try Panda Express for the first time.
Not only a hit, but a format break.
Yeah. Formats, like conceptually, they were always just so
and that's
clean,
when I was like, what clickable. A fucking waste. Yeah. He's making this bullshit.
I was like, great work. This is excellent
stuff.
I
was making the Would You Rather Disney graphic banger. And I remember that like destroyed numbers. I also remember I did that format where it was like drunk history where like people would tell a story and then they would like
love that on board.
So I just remember thinking like, and I every week I felt like I was gonna get fired. So I was just like, I walked in and I was like literally the like what people imagined people were thinking constantly at BuzzFeed, like views, I gotta get views. And I was like so tweaked out and I was making my little list and I was like, gotta worry about him. Michelle Khari, I have to worry about her. Who was another person that worried me? Were the two main ones that really worried me where I was like, I could see them taking these two.
You guys weren't with Kelsey Darrow.
No, she was
She shot up like a rocket.
Yeah.
That was intense.
She was a monster. in the way
in a positive
that she
monster.
Like attacked stuff there. Yeah.
I tell her to this day, I've never met someone with a work ethic like her.
Yeah, no, she was like a demon there. It was crazy.
We're using the most negative descriptor.
Well, these are positive. I remember when she'd been there for like 2 weeks, and I was like, "How are you already more confident about your position here than we'll ever be?"
Yeah, she made me feel bad about my confidence, and I was already hired. Yeah. And I was like, "I think you're gonna take my job."
Did you know Jonah before this? There was this confidence of like she just walked in and just sort of like.
But she backed it up with views, man.
Yeah,
she was an intern on a like Chris Reinecker and I shoot. And I remember she said apparently I was very mean to her, but I probably was short with her because she didn't know how to focus the lens.
Yeah.
I was like, you do it like this. Stop zooming in and focusing on me and then zooming out. That's not focused. You have to go digitally in and zoom in and do it like this. What is wrong? I was probably like, how do you not know this?
Shane, the only time I've ever seen Shane frustrated.
What?
You weren't mean on set. It was when you were editing, because I sat next to Shane for most of my tenure at BuzzFeed, and he was editing this video, and I just kept hearing going, unbelievable. What are you doing? What are you doing? And I forget the name of the intern who shot the footage for Shane, but it looked like they were shooting it during an earthquake. Like, it was like literally you know exactly which one I'm talking about.
I don't remember which video, but I can see myself. Yeah, I can see myself.
I remember her name too. But yeah, it was a very funny thing to see that. But back to like why I was scared of you was because with all due respect to everyone at BuzzFeed, you were the only person there who did something that I knew I could never do. Like the graphics you were doing, I was like, I could train as hard as I want. I'm never going to make graphics as good as this guy. If they value that,
you're
I'm
still
fucked.
Right.
Well, I mean.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, counterpoint, I could never get the number of views that you got. Were you guys intimidated by us
in any way?
Well, we were competing against you. You guys at that point were like elder statesmen, which is crazy because you had been, it's very funny.
We've been there for 6 months.
I know, that's the thing. You guys have been there for months.
Yeah, wait,
it's the Mount Rushmore.
No, we've been there for 9 months. If your first shoot was, one of the first shoots was Try Guys Underwear, that was shot in like August of 2014. So that was, 8 months.
Yeah. But that was at the Long Price. So you were never at the Beverly office.
No. By the way, you got like a styrofoam bead in your head.
Speak on that.
Speak
on that sort of metaphor.
Well, will say that, while this is our shiny new beautiful office.
It's not done.
It's not complete.
I still have to do it. It's not. Still.
We don't have sand panels.
Well, the cameras can't see.
So we just put styrofoam sheets.
Yeah, there's gonna be cool stuff. There's gonna be a floating shelf behind Zach.
Oh,
so,
floating shelf,
like the Pandora
floating shelf.
Yeah, picture that.
That is an impressive illusion. The land otherwise pretty underwhelming. I felt like
you're talking about in Florida,
Pandora land? And Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it's stunning.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's so unbelievable.
Cool. That river ride sucks ass, dude.
I just saw
the Navi River ride.
Oh, we didn't do that.
The flying one.
The flying one is incredible. That's so good.
Incredible. But like the river journey. Complete garbage.
It's a river ride.
It's a build up to one lady sitting and dancing.
They did. They were like, oh, this features one of the greatest animatronics ever made, which it does, but everything else on the ride is
But it's also
squandered
animatronic. Like if it was real big and impressive, like a big scary monster, it'd be like,
impressive. The content of the ride itself was very phoned in. I'd love to tangent into Disney parks. That park also features the scariest ride that I think I've ever been on, which is Dinosaur. Yeah. That ride is fucking horrifying.
It's kind of scary. It's like it rides like Indiana Jones in terms of how it feels. But then it's like a lot of it's like pitch black darkness. And then suddenly there's a dinosaur. And it's not supposed to be super scary, I don't think. But if it's...
No, that dinosaur is fucking horrifying. And it walks, too.
Yeah.
I don't like animatronics that
walk. It's like at Epcot. And no one knows about it. It's an old ride.
Yeah. No, Dinosaur's
in
Animal
It's
Kingdom.
In Animal Kingdom, right?
Oh, that one. I thought there was one. Isn't there one it's at Epcot that used to be called Dinosaur?
We went on it after we went on the Navi ride because we're like, we need one more hit before we get out of here.
Maybe it was. you're right.
One more hit, baby.
Yeah. We rode that.
Like you're on your way out. There's no line for Dinosaur. And you're like, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
I miss it. I'm having my bachelor party at Disney World.
Oh, that's rad.
What? Can't wait. That sounds very up your alley. Now, are you going to get... tanked
I mean, at Epcot, I'm going to, because you drink around the world.
Yeah.
And that is my, if any of you want to just see drunk people, I recommend going to Epcot around 5 p.m. and going to one of the last lands, whether that be Canada or Mexico. I start in Mexico kind
we
of
started
man.
In Canada's Mexico a good place. Well.
No one wants to start in Canada and drink beer out of a can. That's weird.
Yeah.
But I remember I went with my girlfriend at the time, and we ended in Canada, and we were like somewhat drunk because we were splitting drinks. We weren't taking a drink each because there's like 11 countries.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a group of bros in front of us who had drank at every place, and you could tell. And one of them was struggling to walk, and he didn't have a wallet. He had one of those things where it was like a rubber band with credit cards. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to pay this guy for another beer, and he couldn't like get the credit card out of the rubber band, and he was just pulling on it and then just exploded.
Beautiful.
And then it went under the cart, and he tried to crawl under the cart, and the guy was like, "Sir, you can't do that." And he was like, "No, it's all good." And he tried to like move the cart. And I was like, "This is incredible."
What I love about Epcot is that it's kind of the magic of Disney, but everyone who works there is like, it's just Epcot.
They
take down the illusion a little bit. We were in, I believe, Mexico World.
Mm-hmm. Which is the ride.
I believe they call it Pavilion there.
Mexico Caballeros.
It's like an old
Caballeros?
Donald Duck ride.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a very slow river ride through this pyramid, I think. And all of a sudden, the sound cuts out, and you just hear, "Hola, Try Guys."
Oh, boy.
Wow. We're like, whoa, what's going on?
And then we remembered, oh, that's right. They can see you at all times at Disney.
It would be spooky if they got the animatronics to do that.
Oh,
yeah, like if you were on Pirates and Johnny turned towards you and was like, "Hello, Try Guys."
That's one of those things where they sell you drinks right at the front of that area, and in the back is the ride, but you can't take the drink on the ride. Like, okay, guys, come on now. It's not a fast-moving ride. Yeah. I can balance this margarita just fine.
They have a tequila cave in that Mexico pavilion.
Uh-huh.
That place is impressive.
There's an avocado margarita, I remember.
There is. Oh. It's so good.
It's actually pretty man. Good.
Mm. Is it, like, mushy? Is it, like, mixed?
It's just, like, a slightly more viscous liquid.
Just chunks of avocado water. Around the rim.
Sliced little guacamole.
It's not mushy. It's refreshing.
The funniest drink that's on the tour is that at some point, the only option in that country is limoncello.
Oh,
yes, is it Italy? That's in the France pavilion.
Yeah, that's the only option. That's so fun. Would you like some limoncello?
Would you like a dessert beverage?
I guess I'll have a super sweet lemon drink right
now. I think that's like in the midpoint too, which is funny because like once you get into that like middling area, you start to feel like just like a crackhead walking around there like looking for any drink you can.
Yeah.
And like you're not even interested in the architecture or the beautiful theming or the rides. You're just like, where
but
is
that
this
English
next?
Pub though? By the time you get there, you're like, all right.
And that is one of the
we're ready to.
That's one of the arguments
the...
for starting in Canada because you get to the English pub second, I believe.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that. Oh, I kind of like it later because then it's like it's a celebratory end. And then you go check out some.
Oh, beers. You could go full like Edgar Wright in there and like
see.
Exactly.
Is that so? I'm guessing theme park is the thing you are most looking forward to now that you're vaxxed. What about you, Shane? What is your heart needed?
I think music. Going to shows.
Oh yeah.
I've already bought a bunch of tickets to a bunch of things. I'm very excited.
Right.
Keith and I have been going to Outside Lands last couple years.
Oh, it's great.
In San Francisco, and like because of all the weather changes, you can't dress stupid slutty, right? Like you have to like you're gonna get cold at the end.
It'll come.
So
at
it's
a cost.
Like. I feel like it skews a little older. It's not like that running around youthful energy.
Are you guys going this year? Because it's going to be on Halloween this year.
Yeah, spooky. That spooky fest.
Fun. I've never been
get off my lawn description of a music festival. You can't. There's not a lot of energy running around.
Although, it was the first one that had weed at the festival.
Oh, really?
There's a weed lamp.
You buy joints there.
That's not. I like that.
You can buy everything there.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. It's just compared to Coachella, which is like drunk, frenetic, you're on Molly. Outside Land is like, we're stoned. We're chill. We're in a beautiful ass park. Let's hang out. Sit on a blanket.
I actually like Life is Beautiful for that reason. I've gone every year just because it's like, I've always described it as like an old person's festival that no one really knows about because the festival grounds are like downstairs from the hotel. So you could just go up and take a nap.
Oh, that's beautiful. Nice.
And then go hit, maybe sit on the blackjack table, have like an old fashioned.
That's
like,
dangerous.
I guess I'll go listen to some music right now.
That's
music festival plus casual gambling is a very strange combination.
It's very possible though.
And it's old. It's not like New Vegas. It's like the old strip. So you don't have like, you know, fucking Tiesto trying to advertise to you on every billboard that you
big,
see.
Big green M&M walking over.
Yeah, you don't have the M&M factory.
You know, I want to, I don't like want to go for the full time, but I'd like to go for 2 hours to that Electric Daisy Carnival.
Oh, EDC?
Yeah. I want to go for 2 hours to a rave fest.
Yeah.
Just be in it for a minute.
Fuck yeah.
Just be like, wow, look at this chaos.
So I would do one night. One night at EDC.
I think I could do a whole night
of
it. Yeah.
Where do they do that?
It's like on a blacktop in Vegas in the summer. That's and it's like, I don't even, I remember so seeing the sweaty. Location for it. It's asphalt. It's on asphalt in the summer in Vegas and no out, which I mean, it's a good time because ravers don't wear any clothes, but it's like, Jesus, this is, it must be fun. So hot.
Do I gotta try raving? Yeah, you rave fucking, girl?
Yeah. They're fucking kicking their shuffling and such.
I've always wondered that, like Vegas heat, asphalt, drugs, alcohol. That's quite the cocktail.
It really is.
Yeah. It's got to have a pretty high death toll.
Yeah, I don't think it has a death toll, but I don't think anyone's died, but they're not just right after.
Sunstroke is definitely
just have a morgue tent.
Yeah. Right. Welcome to EDC, the number one sunstroke festival.
It's like a World War II
at
camp.
Night.
Yeah. Like a fucking medic tent. Yeah, I don't think anyone's died, but they're not right after for sure.
No,
there's something's changed.
Yeah, I think as long as you like show up at 7 p.m., you'll probably survive.
You guys see any good ghosts lately?
Well, speaking of ghosts, speaking of ghosts, we've got a great new segment here. Obviously, you guys are the Ghoul Boys. You seen spooky stuff?
I think we have.
We are America's most controversial ghost hunters.
Paranormal right. Bad boys, we've been called.
Can I ask you? Said, oh, I have a question, but you have a game. Okay.
Well,
game.
Zach, you're my boss, so take it away.
I'm just curious how you guys feel now. I feel like they've all come after you. There's like a couple more hot boy ghoul hunter combos out there. And are we happy about that? Do we feel like they're making a mockery of the biz? Let's start some beef.
I mean, look, we already have beef with Ghost Adventures.
That's true.
Zach Bagans, he is our
So you're saying we have bigger fish to fry. I agree.
We do have bigger fish to fry. I don't look down upon them. I want them to get their numbers up there and visit, you know, locations and, you know, sort of put the miles behind them like we have.
Mm. Look, when you're
thinking about the same people? There's a couple of
them.
I have
no idea.
There's a couple out there like, yeah, there's a couple.
I'm assuming they're all just playing Phasmophobia.
Or like, yeah, like playing with a Ouija board or something. Look, when you're Superman, you don't care if anybody's tugging on your cape.
Hilarious. I love that.
We could have a hunt off. We'll go out there. We'll see who's more skilled as a technician in the field.
Wow.
Would you guys be pissed if we went ghost hunting with someone else other than you?
I'd be a little hurt.
I wouldn't be pissed. I'd be heartbroken.
Yeah, I'd be hurt.
I've wanted to do this for years, and it's kind of in, like, hurting me that we haven't gone yet.
I mean, you know, we can continue to build up hype for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
we took Stephen Lim and put him in a jail cell in London.
Oh my God. It was
and
the most
he refused
boring.
To talk to anything because he did not want to invite. But yeah. He was talking so much shit before.
Stephen is a religious man. I think he was just talking to Jesus.
He was talking to Jesus.
I think he was like, hey, Jesus, I'm here.
But in earnest, not as a
yeah,
bit.
He was like,
I would do it as a bit.
He was doing great. It in earnest.
We went. Because we shot an episode at this pub years ago. And then when we went back for VidCon London last year, right before the quarantine.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, we went back to the same pub and we were like, oh, it'd be just nice to grab a drink there. And the guy who we like interviewed that night was behind the pub and he was like, hello, boys. we were like, oh, we just brought our other friend. And he was like, do you want to go down in the basement and see the ghost? And we were like, yeah. we were like, maybe we could ask him. And he was like, come on. We were like, don't you have to work? He was like, nah.
Despite this impression, he was not Austin Powers.
He basically is.
Time freezes when you're in the basement.
Yeah. He's a very charming man. I love that guy. But yeah, Stephen Lim, just nothing.
Yeah. Becky doesn't want me to go ghost hunting. She's
different.
She won't let him touch a Ouija board.
Yeah.
Mari's not a fan of it either for me.
I'm kind of more on the Shane side of like, I would love to be proven that it was real.
Yeah.
That would be thrilling. I don't think it's real. I've had some times where I felt things were a little spooky.
You have ghost story.
See. I mean, so I have a ghost story from someone else who I worked immediately with, and I was in the room when they came back saying they just saw a ghost in the bathroom. I believed them because they were very specific, and it did match up with the lore of that story in that bathroom, and she didn't know about that lore beforehand.
It so was
that
what she saw, like, felt, a little girl.
Saw a little girl peeking through the stall at her while she was giggling, washing her hands.
Yeah.
And then she came back and said, that was so weird. Are there any day camps still going on? She's like, no, they all end at 3. He's like, well, I thought I just saw a little girl. And then my boss at that time, like, whirled around in his chair as, like, a little, like Catholic schoolgirl. She's like, yeah. It's like, you just saw the ghost. And it was like literally like, you saw. And it was there. Apparently there is a little schoolgirl that haunts that bathroom.
Wow.
But she's like a friendly ghost. She's like a chill ghost.
Well, she's a peeping Tom. So
yeah, she's a little. Well, she was looking from the stall perspective.
Oh, that's awful.
So not a perv.
No. Yeah.
So I just remembered our only crossover that we've ever had was when Keith and I got to go stay with a fan to see the eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a whole haunting story, and you guys got to diagnose that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fiction. I forgot about that.
It was a good one. Mm.
Put in some of that magical ghoul boy magic.
Yeah, well.
Bathrooms have been, we haven't had anything really happen in a bathroom. Every time we've been in a bathroom.
Have we ever sort of squatted in a bathroom?
Have. There's been a couple places where we've like tried to investigate in a bathroom.
Think about how vulnerable you are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just never happened.
Also, there's a lot of weird sounds in bathrooms because all the plumbing pipes carry all the sounds. So it seems like a place to be spooked.
It's also usually like the familiar symptoms, like, oh, yeah, the lights are supposed to flash in there, and maybe like a toilet flushes on its own or something like that. Sinks turn on, but none of it ever really happens. The scariest thing that ever happened to me in a bathroom was just, you know, like a bad Chipotle burrito or something.
Yeah, big shit.
It's a really big, dirty shit.
Well, speaking of big, dirty shits, you guys have been around the world hunting ghosties. So we thought it'd be a fun segment to play a little game we're calling Spooky or Cookie.
Spooky or Cookie.
The classic.
Cookie or Cookie.
Spooky or Cookie.
Is it about a cookie?
Well, you're going to decide if something's a little bit scary or a little bit sweet.
We obviously don't know about these games beforehand.
Yeah,
it's a perfectly rhymed title.
Exactly. Yeah.
When Miles says we decided, we're playing a little game.
The word we.
Yes.
It's a very generous we.
We don't have guests over often. Here we go. The
could
first
workshop
one
the title, yeah.
Is this Spooky or Cookie? Jim Carrey, Spooky or Cookie?
Oh man, that's tough.
I'm gonna,
and
I
not
think,
not tough in the way the kids say it now.
Now that he's back in the Sonic film, which I haven't seen, I heard it's a bit of a return to form. but when that Man on the Moon doc came out, that's spooky to me.
That was spooky.
That was
less
weird.
Spooky, more annoying because I feel like anyone else on that set was probably real tired. Of Jim Carrey's.
Okay, but look at
acting.
The body of work.
Yeah.
I love the body of
it's
work.
It's been nonstop.
It's definitely Cookie.
We got
it's
the cookie. Comedies, but then you got The Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which for my money is the greatest film ever made.
Bruce Almighty?
Fuck you.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. The Number 23.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some,
oh my
some
God,
misses.
What a movie.
That Michelle Gondry show on Showtime.
Oh.
I don't know if I saw
forgot
that.
Forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm giving him a full-on kooky.
I'm still going spooky.
No, you guys don't think his like more recent just artwork. Demeanor isn't spooky?
That's why I think it's spooky. Yeah.
It's
he's,
a little
he definitely used to be all kooky. Now he's a little spooky.
Cookie, but
yeah,
yes.
Because he feels like a guru now. And yeah. That's spooky to me.
He's got a beard of mystery.
Okay, if this is not a good bad binary, then I'm fine calling him spooky. I've seen his art. He makes art now.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just spooky.
I'm gonna go cookie though. The body of work is enough to overrule the weird enlightenment that he's going through. I listened to a podcast he was on recently, and he seemed fairly normal there. So
that's classic celeb worship culture, right? It's like if someone's good enough, we're like, yeah, he's a fucking nut job, but it's cool.
He's cool.
He
on
made
that
the
interview.
Mask, man. Show him some respect. And Ace Ventura, same year. Was that the same year? He had quite the run.
Your personality can be as abrasive as you want. You churn out them hits. We'll love you all the
mask.
Same.
Yeah, he had a year or two there where it was like crazy.
It was like Mask, Ace Ventura.
Because I think he was still. On
I'm missing
color.
One.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Oh my God.
Three. That was the trifecta in 1 year.
I feel like you should watch The Number 23 on Guilty Pleasures.
Find someone who loves
that movie
it.
Is not good. Doesn't he write all over himself 23? Well, kind of like a callback to that Liar Liar scene, which is a comedy, by the way. Number 23 is a horror film.
Yeah, it's a full
where
horror.
Where he has blue written all over his face when he's saying the pen is blue.
All right, we're back for another round of Spooky or Cookie.
America's favorite
spooky,
game show.
America's
spooky
favorite game show
or cookie.
Game we're up with on the car over. Here we go. You hear a bump in the night, but you're in the throes of intercourse. Spooky or cookie?
Spooky.
I would say it's probably, I mean, I don't think any, I don't think I'd notice that.
Yeah, just a small bump, and it's like, whoa, that was like across the room, but maybe the bed was just kind of
bump,
not
a thump.
Yeah.
Is it? Can you do a combo of spooky for that one? Or
My partner and I went on an anniversary trip to Joshua Tree, and we were in this super bizarre Art Deco house, and we were about to go to sleep. I mean, it was a super cute night. We did like s'mores by the fireplace. We were enjoying like the weird desert art in the backyard. Mm-hmm. There was this wall of old TVs, like non-operational, but like it was art made out of boxes of old TVs.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of these desert rentals are like really lean into a theme. Like
Yeah.
It's very weird.
So we're about to go to bed. Maggie is like getting into bed and she's crawling over me because like it's one of those beds. She likes to sleep on the inside. So she's over me and it's like this like cute romantic moment. Mm. And we hear, and she freezes. And I'll never forget like her on top of me and like her eyes just go big. And I'm like, oh my God. What is that? So we're like, something is in the fucking house. And then we hear it again. I think we hear like a clattering of like a chling.
Shit, is like a chunky little squirrel or something?
In my mind, there is a coyote in the house.
Okay, that
like,
too.
Full on, like inside somehow.
Making some tea.
Yeah.
Or This is like a Hills Have Eyes situation. Because we're like on top of this like isolated mountain. Like Someone has come to bash our brains in.
I see.
So it's very clear to me this night is no longer going to be romantic. There's no, this is about survival. Mm. So I get out and I'm in my underwear and I'm like, what do I, there's this little cat paperweight, like a doorstop, but it's like a metal cat. So I pick it up and I'm like, I'm going to have to go fucking kill something. And I creep out into the living room. There's nothing to see. And I hear it again. And I walk closer and it's fucking static. And I look, I walk closer to the wall of these TVs, and it's like a shh that's getting louder louder. And I'm like, these TVs have not worked since 1964. They are not plugged in. And I know that because I tried earlier. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I see, because we had made s'mores by the fireplace, a little mouse trying to drag our metal skewer behind the TV. It's the sound of...
That's great.
The sound that we heard was the mouse walking on the plate and doing like the clang of the metal thing. It was so scary.
Cookie.
That's good.
That turns out it's Cookie.
That's Cookie.
The old cookie. Sweet, sweet love. Yeah. No, we were so freaked out. we like slept with one eye open the entire night.
Even after the little, little mouse with the s'more?
That fear dropped deep in our heart.
Yeah.
The old classic, I thought it was a ghost, but it was actually a mouse with a s'more.
I've never had ghost intercourse.
Intercourse with a ghost in the room or... Intercourse with a ghost.
Yeah, either. I fucked the ghost after, and it was hot.
Yeah,
it should be cold.
There it is. It's never happened to me, but I imagine if I did hear something, it would be kind of hard to go investigate because you're pretty vulnerable when you're walking around with a boner.
Yeah,
true.
You're not very like aerodynamic. You know?
Yeah.
You're like knocking shit over and stuff.
Okay. This is unrelated to spookiness.
How big is your boner? Are you Austin Powers?
Your weight is all off balance.
It's not like an Austin Powers reference of the podcast. Stick around, see if we can get to all three.
Your brain bleeds in your boner.
And you're not thinking straight. Yeah. And also like, remember that scene from Eastern
Promises?
Not thinking
straight. Ryan hangs a little to the left.
Eastern Promises? Remember that? The bathroom.
It's very impressive what he does in that film.
Imagine if all those guys had a boner while they were fighting.
They didn't, yeah.
They did, but it would be harder, I feel like.
Telling me that Viggo wouldn't have been able to take him down if he was a little, like, half-chub?
Maybe half-chub, but
I think Viggo could pull it
off. If he was full-mast, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because that's a handle now.
That's Aragorn you're talking about.
Is this what you wanted, Miles?
This is what I wanted,
the conversation.
Yeah. No, I wanted a conversation about it. Boners and intercourse.
So as I've gotten older, I've found that when I wake up in the morning to pee and I walk to the bathroom, the first walk to the bathroom, my ability to walk has gone down. So far from days of yesteryear, where like my first 5 steps, I'm like, it looks like I'm like a on a boat. Like I am holding on to everything for support because I'm like
Jack Sparrow.
Oh, I have to be, and I walk like whoa.
Do that toddler thing where your weight kind of lurches forward and your feet move to catch up.
It's like a rag doll, but I'm like Is anyone else had this? Is this set in for you yet?
No, you don't think this has anything to do with the massive amounts of marijuana you take to sleep every night?
I don't think it does. Because it's I'm talking 6 a.m. That's seven or eight hours after I've gone to bed.
Later.
That should be out of me by then.
Yeah.
Now when I wake up at 2 a.m. to pee, then yes, of course, that is a factor. But it happens even in the daytime when the light's out.
Yeah. I just took 3 edibles to the head. I don't know why I'm groggy.
Why
am I so groggy?
Well, last night I did have a weed drink and a weed edible, and I had a joint. But it was because, here's why, guys.
You take a weed drink.
It was a Monday.
It's because we did a Food Babies video yesterday, and we ate, each of us ate like 4 pounds of raw seafood.
Jesus.
And my stomach was torn to bits.
Was it?
To bits.
What kind of seafood?
Really nice seafood.
Bro, super high end, but it was like,
all of it.
I had like 10 oysters, like 14 3-bite shrimp, like my stomach was I was super dehydrated. I was drinking so much water. I felt awful and was like, the only thing that will help me is weed. And I had a joint, and then I opened a pack of Pokemon cards and made myself feel better.
That's sick. That's a good feeling every single time. Yeah. You get anything good?
You guys want some? I have some in my car right now. I can run and get
unopened packs.
Unopened packs.
I would actually like that very much.
A trip down memory lane.
Sure. He's not a Pokemon man.
I've never been a Pokemon.
Oh, one good pull.
I mean, I understand.
The first one's always free.
I'm going out the door again, guys. I keep going out the door this episode. I'm going to go get some.
Okay.
Keith's going
to
get some.
I've been thinking about, Keith's the only one who will relate to this. I've been thinking about doing a microdose weed week. I don't know how
that works.
Maybe we should do that as an office.
Is that when it's like really concentrated? Or
No,
it's just like a small dose.
Just a small amount.
Microdose, like they do like acid in Silicon Valley.
What did you think he said?
I was thinking of like, what's the like really potent
macrodose?
Macrodose?
Macrodose.
Yeah. I sure am macrodosing at work, dude. Just fucking pound a weed every day, see what happens. I don't know. Maybe I'll have some good ideas.
Yeah.
All right. Keith's back with the Pokemon cards, which means that it's time for the final segment. Zach, give the intro so the guests aren't confused.
Spooky or cookie? And this episode.
No, for the final segment.
Oh, so we're not doing Pokemon cards?
No, we're going to do Pokemon cards at the very end.
Oh, so then this is not...
Dude, I can't wait.
So then this is the penultimate segment.
This is the penultimate segment.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Exactly.
You have no idea how excited
I just got. Well, this is Miles' time.
This is... No, but you have to set it up because they're going to be really confused.
Oh, you want like the whole
thing? Why do you have those?
So this is Miles' time.
No, okay, but they're going
to
be...
Each week, we ask the youngest and least experienced of us to dole out some advice onto the world. This is advice that'll go for Miles with your host.
Yeah,
Miles Bonsignore.
It's advice that'll go for Miles. Tune it to your.
Yeah, usually it's just them. I have to kind of.
Miles does not like people watching him do this.
Well, I got into a state of comfort, and now we have guests over, so
I'm really gonna watch you now.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna
Miles. This is the best one you've ever done.
I'm gonna judge every move.
It's Miles' time, motherfuckers!
Here we go.
Miles' time.
What the fuck is up, Miles Nation?
I like it already.
How y'all stinky little bitches doing?
You weren't supposed to call them bitches.
Oh, yeah, they said not to call them that.
Maybe he's calling our guests.
Yeah, you're talking to us. And we
I am a stinky little bitch. I've been told
Have you ever wanted to get the Fauci ouchie?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wanted to slide your noodle around your bros?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe?
What's the advice? We always try to predict what it is, too. It's never what you think it might be.
Picture this. I'm shit-faced on a Saturday noon.
Wally.
He's saying get vaccinated so you can get sloshed, I think.
Get vaccinated so you can go to a bar and get drunk as fuck.
Oh, that's a good advice.
Okay. It's pretty good.
On Saturday, me and some bros went to a bar. It was an outdoor bar. Wearing your mask inside, sit down, take that mask off, and slurp down a seltzer, but it's beer.
Okay, that's hard to follow, but I got there eventually.
Yeah, so we went out to a bar, and we went to another bar, and it was such a little special Saturday treat, really, that I haven't been able to have in a while, and I got a little overindulged.
Yeah.
And I woke up with a big headache, but it was all worth it because I feel like partying is 2021 style.
Partying is good and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Partying's back, guys.
Yeah. Partying back. LA is back.
It's making a comeback, baby.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about it anymore because obviously I was pretty nervous.
Yeah. Oh, wait, when? Why?
Well, I didn't know what it was going to be like, or if people, I was going to be like, get social anxiety at a bar and people are going to be looking at me and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Miles and I got drunk together on Monday.
We did.
Nice.
Yeah. At a work function, actually.
We saw Fast and Furious 9.
We did.
Oh, and I was, and I don't drink anymore, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take one down for Daddy Vin.
Yeah.
It was worth
you
it.
You got to take one down.
For was Daddy it a Corona?
A Corona.
I did have a Corona during the movie. Yeah. And it was
awesome. Yeah, dude. That's what Vinny would want.
By the way, they, so big, big thing in the Fast universe, they, you know, they drink Corona. They, Bud Light had a sponsorship in 8, and that pissed me off. That pissed the world off. Corona's back in this one.
Thank God.
But brand they do not have a close-up of it.
Is there a part, did they like come back to them to such a degree that Vin like takes a swig of a Bud Light and says, tastes like shit.
It's amazing.
It's the movie's heavier on lore than any of the other movies.
I've heard it's like essentially a comedy.
I would say it's a character drama.
Okay.
I would say it's the closest.
Here. You're talking to the fast man.
Yeah, I know. I know we're talking to the fast man.
Yeah, it's the closest
I'm
to the Avengers.
Fast man. <De-de-bop>.
But yeah, that's my advice. Get out there and start partying, vaccinated bros and girls. So go for it is my advice. Yeah,
I'm easing back into polite society. It feels good.
Yeah,
polite society.
What have you been easing into?
Like I've gone out to dinner with two people. You know,
that's polite.
It's still wonderful. I was able to go out to lunch on Saturday and then met other people for dinner.
Crazy.
I'm like, two meals out of the house. I saw two different groups of people.
I did a brunch.
All were vaccinated.
Oh, damn.
Me
dude.
And Chris Reinecker, just a one-on-one, mano-a-mano brunch.
Beautiful.
There's also like a newfound, like I forgot what it was like to be sort of spontaneous with things.
Oh, yeah,
On Sunday, I like had dropped Sarah off somewhere, and then I was by the new Amoeba Records, and I was like,
wait, there's a new one.
I'll go in.
Dude, you're fucking wild, man.
Where is it?
It's on Hollywood now instead of Sunset. It's like a block or two away. It's by the Shake Shack.
By the Pantages.
By the Pantages.
I'm happy that they have
a
home.
It's a pretty nice space.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
But I was like, hey, I'm going to go here. I didn't plan.
I'm coming in. I'm going to walk around and look at some things and leave without buying anything.
And I'm going to use hand sanitizer three times.
I bought some records.
You bought some records?
I was about to say, you get anything?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
What'd you get?
I've been talking about it endlessly, but I'm not like the hugest Lord Huron fan, but their new album is insane.
I haven't loaded
like
up because of you.
The most incredible thing in the world is to like not expect much from a record, and then it is like astounding.
Knocks your socks.
I need to listen to
I'm going to listen to it on my way home, and if I post about it incessantly, it'll be because of you.
They did that song that's like...
They do that. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not the... I like some of their early tracks.
I
like the first album a lot. I like their last two I kind of ignored. And then this one is like... I'm going to be listening to it for the rest of the year.
Two bands that did that to me. The XX.
Man.
I kind of thought they were a little bit of a snore fest in the beginning. I mean, they got some good songs, but I'm like, I don't want to listen. And then whatever, the album with Dangerous came out. I'm like, this is
so
just
good.
Fucking bops. Tame Impala. I feel
also
like they've
good.
Given me no choice but to stan.
Yeah.
I did not intend to be the biggest Tame Impala fan, but I'm like, you look at the body of work. I cannot deny they are the best rock band out right now.
That's
Who is a better rock band right? Have you seen them live?
I have.
They're just good. Fucking solid, man.
I really enjoy them.
I like the Black Keys.
I know that if I listened to them incessantly, I'd probably
you can't deny it.
To them, but.
I did see them back to back with Black Keys, and I thought Black Keys rocked the house.
You're gonna
a little
fucking
bit.
Sit here in my house, look he's me in the eyes, and tell me the Black Keys are better than Tame Impala?
I mean, they rocked the house a little bit more. It was bumping
a
little bit more.
Fucking mind?
There was more heads bobbing.
Oh, you just like Dodge commercials.
You know what was really
cool? I don't know if that's relevant, but I was saying that I was
a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so.
I have
yeah,
no,
sure.
I have no hate
tight
to
on those curves on the mountain.
The other day,
Black Submarine's a good song.
I was listening to Alt Nation because every now and then when XMU plays something dumb, I'll switch over to Alt Nation, which is like maybe there's some good stuff. But they had a spot
that is such an I'm so with you on that. That's such a niche
like,
thing.
We'll see what they're doing over there, but
sure you're alt.
But they had a bumper where they were like. your only source for the music from next year's car commercials. And I was like, how very self-aware. Wow.
Keith, open those cards.
Let's do it right here. There's five.
I don't want to end.
Should we do actually, this as the Patreon?
Yeah, super
exclusive,
the Patreon, yeah.
Guys. Okay, oh. So come on over to our Patreon. You're going to get an exclusive of us. I have five packs of cards. That's one pack for each of us.
Wow.
So we're going to open. Surely with these odds, somebody's going to pull something exciting. I know Ryan's excited. I know
I'm
you're
very excited.
So
I'm excited.
Head on over to patreon.com/tryguys. Get yourself an extra little 10 to 15 minutes of sweet, sweet audio of us looking at cars.
And video now.
We'll do video. Yeah, we'll do video for this one specifically.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe we'll talk about music while doing that too.
Yeah, probably.
Guys, give us a rating. Go support the other shows. And then you guys, you got your shit. Please give us a little plug-a-roo.
What are we up to now?
Yeah, dude, we're so good at plugs.
Yeah, what are we doing right now? You guys know, if you've listened to this far into the episode, you know Ryan and Shane, you know they're up to great shit. But Puppet History probably truly is one of the true great format shows on the internet right now.
It's great.
It is such a delight. And then Ryan makes some stuff over there too.
Yeah, I mean, I make some bullshit over there. It's not good. It's not, it pales in comparison to the little blue guy. I've accepted that.
We're all very
you guys, it's very fun. We love
like
watching
too many
your channel.
Spirits.
Oh, we
show.
Got.
They get drunk and talk about ghosts.
Oh, man. That's my body awesome. Doesn't like that show.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I know we were supposed to wrap up here, but you guys kind of do what we once dreamed of doing with our channel. And then we were like, nah, we're not going to do that. But like you genuinely, you drop seasons of shows in and then you go, those shows go away. I feel like you have a real, what is it?
Programmatic schedule.
Programmatic schedule. And you have a real quality threshold that I admire. I feel like you guys could get away with phoning it in sometimes, yeah. And you refuse to.
Well, we do that with Too Many Spirits.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's our phone it in show that we stayed up till 2 a.m. finishing.
We shoot a season of that in 5 hours and, out of necessity for our bodies. We shot that multiple days in a row.
It would be awful.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly hope more people start to admire the content because it's we're working real hard over here.
I mean, you guys have a fervent fan base.
Yeah, that's
I'd say
true.
You are among the most memed boys on the Twitter.
On the Twitter and the TikTok, which I, you guys, as you know, just found out about.
There was a meme from Eat the Menu, the sprinkles thing, which I was
what?
Not
oh,
with.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Have you seen that on TikTok?
What are you talking about? No. You saw a meme of us and didn't send it?
My
no,
friend
it was
informed
me
of
that.
No,
it was me and Ryan on Keith's.
Oh, see, it's you again.
Yeah.
what were we doing that was so great? Tell me.
There was, it was Ryan eating sprinkles and he says something like,
we did
I was always a sprinkles guy. And I think I say, yeah, you look like a sprinkles guy. And then he says, what the fuck does that mean?
It's
and I
like,
said, you look like a sprinkles guy.
It was like a bit too. And people were like, man, that guy really
wow, Keith,
hates
a great moment of you that was me.
Sounds like I was probably doing this.
You were like a knuckle deep in some sort of
yeah,
donut over there.
Knuckle deep.
I was pretty fucked up by the time you guys came on.
Knuckle deep. Yeah, you weren't, you didn't look
right. Yeah, you didn't look right.
There was a sheen right. About you.
Yeah, yeah, at some point my face just goes like,
the donuts
wet. But I have to continue to shovel food into my body.
Another, that's what you're supposed to do.
Another fun fact is that the secret weapon key to early Try Guys success was our producer, Kay LeBlanc, who now is head of content over at Watcher. So you got a lot of love over there.
Another Terminator.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
He truly is.
And, you know, we all met at BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed was a crazy time. I think, though, BuzzFeed was, as much as we like complain about it, was awesome.
It was.
You know, it was truly an amazing experience. We got so much experience. We met so many cool people. It was like the best college.
Yeah.
Like it's like a dream college hangout times. And I was talking the other day, I was like, someone's like, yeah, they like let us like drink. I'm like, oh yeah, they used to like put up beer pong tables for us at parties. They were like really like, go fucking have a good time on the days we were supposed to have a good time. It was great.
And I feel like at any other startup that would feel like, well, you know, they gave you a ping pong table or something. But the whole vibe of BuzzFeed was like, make videos. Come up with ideas and do something interesting. Yeah. So it was like, it did feel like a very, there was like a magic there for a while. Because even when we were talking about how it felt kind of Hunger Games-y for a bit there, but everyone, despite the stress of it, it like there was a while there where Unscripted was just like, it really did feel like magic. Like you'd get there in the morning and Keith would be like, I'm going to go try and find the nicest bathroom on Hollywood Boulevard.
I remember that video.
Right, see you later.
It was a good video.
I did. It was Dave and Buster's.
It was always like new stuff. Every
it's day. Also crazy that you say it's like college too, because in terms of like what people think college actually does, sets up your career. BuzzFeed actually did set up all of our careers and it was very much like college in that what I thought college was going
to
be.
That's
like
the alumni network that's actually getting us all jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it never occurred to me, I don't think until this very minute, but my college experience was it was like, I didn't have the typical like frenzied college experience. I had like a lot of really close friends, and I was always very, at the jobs I had post college, I was always usually like the youngest person there by a significant amount. So I was very kind of closed off, and I always felt like I kind of had to guard my personality a bit. And I realized that when I came to BuzzFeed, I was still that way. I was still very kind of shy. And BuzzFeed, I think, sort of afforded me that sort of like socialization, mm-hmm. like that really imperative socialization, where I think it sort of helped me come out of my shell there.
It's true, because I barely heard a peep out of you.
I was
the first
like
5 months.
Yeah,
I sat next to you for 5 months.
And
the
like
only time
people
we talked
would go
to each
out on
trailers.
Fridays, and I'd be like, "Well, I don't know."
Do you remember what I looked like when I started at BuzzFeed? I have changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Hey, we've all come on a journey. We've sprouted from our shells. We've evolved. Like Pokemon?
Like Pokemon, segue. So stick around.
Wrap this shit up. Guys, thanks for watching. Keith, hit us with the official Tripod theme song.
Oh, it was so much fun. We had spooky cookies. The fun had just begun. We talked about Wally. We talked about bands. We talked about humor. We talked about romance. But actually, the romance talk was before the podcast actually started. So that was just for us. The five in the room. The tripod.
That was good.
Thanks.
Did you come off the dome? Was that off the dome?
That's the official tripod theme.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's official.